Man has a moral nature that distinguishes him from the animals. And so it seems to some that we ought to include this as a part of image of God. Now, friends, as we deal with the image of God, it's very essential to understand the meaning and exact definition what really God means. We were discussing this in our early chapter. Now we are going with the same continuation of image of God. As I said, man has a moral nature that distinguishes him from the animals. And so it seems to some that we ought to include this as a part of image of God, even though rationality may be one element. Now, even animals and inanimate objects obey God's commands, but instead of doing so by a rational mind, they are compelled by God's power. But since man has a rational mind, he chooses to obey God through the intellect, and he sins by defying divine commands. Man can comprehend the concepts of good and evil and can discuss them through the usage of language. This means that man is moral precisely because he is rational. Morality is a function of rationality. Therefore, although we may acknowledge that having a moral nature is part of what it means to be a human being, it is not necessary to include it as a part of our definition for the image of God. Man's dominion over the animal is also an extension of the result of his intellectual superiority. That's in Genesis chapter 1, verse 28 to 30, and not to be confused as a part of image of God. James writes, "All kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and creatures of the sea are being tamed and have been tamed by man." James chapter 3, verse 7. Although man is physically weaker than many animals, his understanding and knowledge enables him to devise methods, tools, and weapons to tame and exploit them. Man's rule over nature is made possible by his intellectual ability and not by any supernatural or mystical power given by God. The strong interest in animal rights and vegetarianism will justify a brief digression at this point. Scripture teaches that human beings are more valuable than animals, and that human beings may eat animals for food. Genesis chapter 9, verse 2 and 3 says, "The fear and dread of you will fall upon all the beasts of the earth and all the birds of the air, upon every creature that moves along the ground, and upon all the flesh of the sea. They are given into your hands. Everything that lives and moves will be food for you. Just as I gave you green plants, I now give you everything." Genesis chapter 9, verse 2 and 3. "Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not being sure of that? If you are more valuable than they are, as in Ch Matthew chapter 6, verse 26 says, why not? God will take care of you." In Matthew chapter 12, verse 11 and 12 says, "He said to them, if any of you has a sheep and it falls into a pit on the Sabbath, will you not take hold of it and lift it out? How much more valuable is man than a sheep? Therefore, it is lawful to do good on Sabbath." Luke chapter 12, verse 7 says, "Indeed, the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Don't be afraid. You are worth more than many sparrows." Luke chapter 12, verse 24. "Consider the ravens. They do not sow or reap. They have no storerooms or barn. Yet God feeds them. And how much more valuable you are than birds. First Corinthians chapter 9 verse 9 says, "For it is written, the law of Moses, do not muzzle an ox while it is treading out the grain." It is about oxen that God is concerned. The Spirit clearly says that in the latter times, some will abandon the faith and follow deceiving spirits, things taught by demons. Such teachings come through hypocritical liars whose conscience have been seared with a hot iron. They forbid people to marry and order them to abstain from certain foods which God created to be received with thanksgiving by those hypothetical liars, by those who believe. These all are very different. You know, in 1 Timothy chapter 4 verse 1 to 5 says that they forbid people to marry and order them to abstain from certain foods which God created to receive with thanksgiving by those who believe and who know the truth. For everything God created is good, and nothing is to be rejected if it is to be received and thanksgiving, because it is consecrated by the word of God in prayer. The Christian's priority should always be human beings, not animals. Given what the Bible says about the superior value of human beings, we should allocate our resource in such a way as to aid the cause of Christ among human beings, even at the expense of comfort and lives of animals. Much of what is done in the name of animals rights robes from the resource that ought to be devoted to helping humanity. This is an indirect denial that man is made in the divine image and he is special among God's creature, and therefore it is an indirect rejection of scripture. As for vegetarianism, God has granted man permission to consume everything that lives and moves. Genesis chapter 9 verse 3, scripture states that man is not restricted to eating plant life. Just as I gave you the green plants, I now give you everything, verse 3 says. Therefore, to abstain from eating meat for spiritual reasons or as an acknowledgement of animal rights defies biblical teaching. Though animal rights activists are in error, it does not mean that man may abuse or torture animal as he pleases. The scripture gives instruction as to how we should treat them. For example, animals are to benefit from the Sabbath rest, and they must be allowed to eat while laboring. Deuteronomy chapter 5 verse 13 to 14, chapter 25 verse 4, Proverbs chapter 12 verse 10 space says very specially, a righteous man cares for the needs of his animal. We may conclude from the such passage that it is wrong to torture animal for sport or to cause them any unjustified suffering, but it remains that we are to freely slaughter them for food, since scripture itself grants that it is legitimate. Given the contemporary tendency to favor animals, even at the expense of humanity, we must strive to give priority to human beings when thinking about the treatment of animals. God always put humanity before the animals after citing the biblical command that says, do not muzzle an ox while it is treading out the grain. Paul added, it is about oxen that God is concerned. 1 Corinthians chapter 9 verse 9. Even such a command about the treatment of animals have the benefit of humanity and the just treatment of man in view. Surely he says for this for us, doesn't he? Yes, this was written for us, because when the plowman plows and when the thresher threshes, they ought to do it in the hope of sharing in the harvest. Verse 10. Therefore, we should say with Acts chapter 10 verse 13, where God calls to Peter the apostle, "Arise, Peter, kill and eat." Returning to our topic, some who admits that image of God is seen in the intellect of man, nevertheless argue that since body is necessary to express one's rational mind, whatever in words or in action, it must be at least a part of image of God. However, the earlier reference to Deuteronomy chapter 4 verse 15 to 18 already eliminated the possibility the body of man cannot be even a part of God's image. In addition, the argument confuses the image of God with the equipment required to express it in physical world. The mind can certainly engage in rational communication with God. Without the body, we only need the body to intellect. That is the part of God's image. We need just the body to interact with physical world. Indeed, before the consummation of our salvation, to be away from the body is to be at home with the Lord. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 8. The Bible views the physical body as very important, and the New Testament even says the believer's body is a temple of God. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 verse 16. However, the body is not part of the image of God. Another objection against equating the image of God with the intellect of man is rooted in the view that man is trichotomy, consisting of spirit, soul and body. Proponents of this view assert the Bible portrays man as a trichotomy, and since God is spirit, John chapter 4 verse 24, the image of God must therefore be man's spirit as opposed to his soul or body. This being so, the image of God is not the rational intellect of man, but it is a non-intellectual part of man called the spirit. The problem with the view is that Bible does not endorse trichotomy, but instead teaches that man is a dichotomy constituting of soul and body. Although trichotomists often cite Hebrews chapter 4 verse 12 to support their view, as proper reading of the verse renders the position impossible. The verse says, "For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to divide the soul and spirit, joins the marrow. It judges the thoughts and attributes of hearts." The trichotomist claims, although, that it is often difficult to distinguish between the soul and the spirit. This word says that they can be divided by the word of God. Therefore, soul and spirit are two different parts of a person. However, the verse does not say about the word of God can divide the soul and spirit and body, but it can divide soul and spirit, joints and marrows. Since joints and marrows belongs to the body, are the material part of man, the natural interpretation is that soul and spirit also being together in the same part of person, or the immaterial part of man. Now here it is very interesting to study something about soul, spirit and body. We will be dealing into the other chapter, the next chapter, with the man, soul, spirit and body. So hereby we conclude with man as a trichotomy, having three different natures, soul, spirit and body, as if God in Trinity says Father, Son and Holy Spirit. We'll be dealing into the next chapter. Thank you so much.